My next guest, Tucker Carlson, hosted the nightly political talk show Tucker Carlson Tonight on Fox News from 2016 to 2023. Since his contract with Fox News was terminated, he has hosted Tucker on X, an advocate for former President Donald Trump. Carlson has been described as perhaps the highest profile proponent for the former president, and as the most influential voice in media without a close second. With us now is Tucker Carlson. Tucker, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Well, it's an honor to be here. Thanks a lot.
Tucker, there's a whole slew of things I want to get to, but and I hadn't planned on necessarily doing current events, but gosh, this month has been like the plethora of news stories, but I got to get to what, I mean, the news that just broke here. But let's start with the pardon of Khalik Sheikh Mohammed. You know, I get that caught in my throat. And the other 9/11 masterminds. I mean, I can't wait to hear what you have to say about this bonehead decision. But what is the federal government thinking? We wait, what, 26 some years to finally do anything, and then we pardon them instead of just taking them out back and putting two in the chest and one in the head for these guys?
Well, I mean, it's part of the humiliation exercise, along with, you know, making Kamala Harris the presidential candidate. It's, you know, how much will America put up with? I have to say, now's a perfect time to find out exactly what we know about 9/11. I mean, it's been 23 years. There's no justification at all for the U.S. government to continue to classify documents around 9/11. There are tons of theories about what actually happened. People don't believe the official story. Fair or not, the official story may be entirely real. But we don't know that because they're continuing to hide facts from us. And we own the government. It's our government. I mean, federal bureaucrats have absolutely no right to hide what our government is doing from us. And so I think this is a perfect time to say, you know, you say Khalid Sheikh Mohammed deserved to be let out. Okay, show us all the intel. And if you won't show it to us, why won't you? And maybe you should answer that question, or maybe you should be indicted. I mean, that's my view of it.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. And either way, why it's taken so long to get to this point, I mean, why we didn't have this adjudicated years ago is beyond me. But I mean, but I think part of this is they're afraid of what happens in November if Donald Trump wins, because then I think we do know how this would be adjudicated, and it would be quick.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
The other story that, and this came from our, you know, embarrassing the Olympics that are going on in Paris, was what happened in the boxing match where you had a biological male Algerian boxer who in the first 46 seconds breaks the nose of the Italian female boxer who then, you know, had to take a knee and bow out. And it's just so tragic that this woman who spent 4 years preparing for an opportunity of a lifetime to box in the Olympics, and here she is, you know, fighting a guy who's 2 feet taller than she is, breaks her nose. And, you know, it's just so typical of what we're dealing with the demise of our culture these days, that somehow the IOC thinks this is appropriate.
Well, it's the end point of feminism, of the progressive project, which is beating women in the face. You know, you're so liberated, some man gets to smash your nose. I hope you're happy with your liberation. But bigger picture, it's an attack on the idea of God. I mean, transgenderism, the whole point of it is we're God, and we're in control of nature, of biology, of human nature, and we can change it if we want, which is, of course, untrue. But it's not surprising that this happened in the same Olympics that began with an attack on Christianity, mocking Jesus. That was the opening. So, like, what's the message there? You're not being paranoid to ask that question. I mean, it was on television. They did it on purpose. What were they telling us? And they're telling us that we hate Jesus. We hate Christianity. And we think we're gods, of course. And so you shouldn't be surprised. You know, anyone who thinks he's God, anyone who has the arrogance, the hubris to imagine that he's in control of the universe and in charge of biology, you know, is probably not that far from beating women in the face. I mean, what, you know what I mean? It's that there's no restraining principle for people like that. Like, they can do anything because they're God. So I think it's as dark as it looks. It's as important as it looks. I think we're in a struggle with, you know, the ultimate stakes. I hate to use the word existential, but I think that's what it is. And it's a spiritual battle. And I think it's very, very, they've made it very obvious. By the way, I didn't think any of this 5 years ago. I had a really pedestrian understanding of the world. I thought it was all political or profit motivated, but it's not. It's much deeper than that.
Speaking of the world, I saw the, as I mentioned before we came on the air here, I mentioned the interview that you did, the stage interview where you took questions from the press, and I think it was in Australia. And the pushback that you got from the Australian media was absolutely hilarious. By the way, folks, I've shared this on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. But that conversation you had with the Australian press was shocking. Their press is just as bad as our press, isn't it? It was laughable the way you handled this, the media over there. But they really are just as biased as ours, aren't they?
Well, I was shocked by it. I don't know why I expected something different. Australia is a wonderful country. It's very much like the United States in its attitudes and its people. Its people are amazing, and they're oppressed and bullied by a totally out-of-control press corps that hates them and their country. And so in that regard, they're very much like our country. I just wasn't expecting it. I mean, they have koalas and kangaroos. I thought they might have good reporters, but they don't. And if anything, they're slightly, I would say, I say this with pride as an American, they are slightly dumber than our media. And you didn't think that was possible, but it turns out it is. You should go there and check it out.
You know, we talk about interviews, and by the way, I'm absolutely thrilled to be able to have this one. I've had the pleasure of interviewing a heck of a lot of celebrities and politicians, up including the Vice President of the United States. And I have to tell you, yours is the best one I've ever done. So,
You're so nice. Thank you. Well, I'm honored to do it.
I've got to tell you, you've had a heck of a resume of folks that you've interviewed, including, you know, highly watched and quote unquote controversial interview with Russian President Vladimir Putin. And you were attacked. How dare you sit down with Vladimir Putin? You must be a traitor for talking to Putin. I don't get that. I mean, this is your job, to sit down and interview movers and shakers and world leaders, yet you were attacked for how daring to talk with him.
Right. Well, I was attacked by politicians and media figures whose opinions I could care less about. It's dogs barking. In fact, I have a lot of dogs, and when they bark, I pay much closer attention than I do to, say, the Wall Street Journal or the Washington Post. I just don't care. But I have to say, I'm pleased. One of the really the only kind of aggressive editorial line I took in that interview, I mean, I was there to listen. I wanted to hear from Putin. I didn't want to lecture Putin, but I did lecture him about Evan Gershkovich, who was, speaking of the Wall Street Journal, the journal reporter being held in Russia on absurd charges of spying. He's a kid. He wasn't spying. You know, anyway, he was released. So I was gratified to see that, happy to see that. I'm glad. I don't like Americans in captivity, even if I don't agree with them. I don't know that I have much in common with Evan Gershkovich. We probably have very different views, but he's an American, and I don't want to see any American held in a foreign prison. So I was really happy about that.
We're talking with conservative political commentator Tucker Carlson. Another interview that you did recently was with Donald Trump Jr., and I found that interview absolutely fascinating. One of the things that the two of you touched on in the course of that interview was the way the Biden administration, and I'm sure the Harris administration, should she be elected, and God, I hope she isn't, is the way that this whole administration, and no doubt hers, is weaponizing the federal government. And you've seen it with the same thing with Steve Bannon, but they've literally weaponized it to take on their political opponents. Do you think Donald Trump will get a fair trial in any? He hasn't had one so far. Do you think he will get a fair trial in any of the other stuff that's still to come?
Well, the charges themselves aren't fair. They're ridiculous. I mean, you know, nobody who's not a threat to the establishment would ever be charged for those crimes. So the whole thing's ridiculous. I do think the system itself has been revealed as unfair and as a political weapon. And that's good news for Trump, because it's not going to affect the vote in a meaningful way, in my opinion. But it's bad news for the rest of us, because we had a fair justice system. You know, it's administered by people. They made mistakes. There were flaws. But in general, it was the fairest in the world for a couple hundred years. And now it's not. And so we lose in this. And I guess my main hope, obviously, I'm hoping that Trump wins strongly. But more than that, you know, I'm hoping that my grandchildren can live in a country with a fair justice system. I hope that we fix what's been broken in the past 8 years. I really do.
You've got the Tucker Carlson Network. It's the new streaming platform. It's home to exclusive, all new content from you. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think some of the old media platforms, including ones I've worked for, are dying. I think there are a lot of reasons for that. Some have to do with technological advances. Others have to do with just the fact that if you lie too much, no one wants to pay your cable subscription.
Yeah.
But there's a need for news and analysis. And so we're offering it independently without the control of a network in very much the same way. On your television, we've got a streaming app coming out very soon where you can just watch it on your smart TV, which is pretty much all TVs. And, you know, interviewing the people who are changing the world or trying to stop the world from being destroyed, doing it all over the world, but primarily in this country. And we're just producing a lot of material. So my job hasn't changed that much, except I'm not controlled by anybody. And I can be as honest as I can, which I try to be. And no one can say, you know, you're offending some advertiser. We don't really have we have advertisers, but this is a subscription business. And, you know, we pay our salaries from the money that people send us to watch our stuff. So it's like, it's kind of censorship proof. It's great. I mean, because that was my main concern after I got fired was, you know, how do you broadcast without being censored? It's not so easy. You know, you go on YouTube, and we are on YouTube, but you go on YouTube and you know, they can take you down if you criticize the vaccine or drop boxes or, you know, there are all kinds of red lines on YouTube and a lot of these platforms. But if you have your own network with subscribers, you can be as honest as you can. So it's a blessing.
Tucker, I know you're coming to Wichita and to Kansas City. You'll be in Wichita. That's the Tucker Carlson Live Tour coming on September 13th with Charlie Kirk. For folks, I know we're going to give away tickets here on my show, and more information is available on the KNSS website. If folks are interested in attending, what can folks expect? I mean, if they've not seen the show, if they haven't been to a Tucker Carlson live tour, what can they expect?
Oh, live shows are the best. They're the best. I mean, especially for me. I've spent my whole life, 25 years in the studio, looking at, you know, my cameramen, who I love. I'm not, you know, they're great. Telling dirty jokes and commercial breaks, but you know, it's a little bit, you know, it's like being in a casino. There are no windows. You have no, I don't know. It's a little bit claustrophobic. So to be in front of a live audience doing a show is just thrilling for me. And it's also, you know, uncensorable. YouTube can't take your live show down.
Right.
And so we're going all across the country in September for the entire month. We're doing big venue stadiums from coast to coast and Florida to California. And I mean, there's going to be so much going on by that, you know, next month. I mean, we're sort of at the pivot point in American history that is going to be wild, really wild. And so, yeah, we're doing full shows with a different guest, big name guest in every town. I'm really excited.
What, you know, you mentioned, and I know I've got to let you run, but you mentioned so much going on. Did you foresee this, what happened with the Democrat Party and them kicking Joe Biden off the ticket and bringing Kamala Harris on? First off, do you think she'll be the nominee? And did you actually foresee this coming?
I did. Yeah, I predicted it many times, but that doesn't mean I wasn't shocked when it actually happened. You know what I mean? It's like, it's one thing to talk about something. It's another thing to see it. I also predicted many times Trump would be shot. It was obvious to me, but I was stunned and very emotional when I saw it happen. So the lesson of Joe Biden being threatened into stepping down as the candidate is that it doesn't matter who the candidate is in the Democratic Party, because it's not a Democratic Party. It's not run along the lines of democracy. It's run by unelected oligarchs standing in the shadows, the money people, and they make the decisions. It doesn't matter who you vote for. I mean, they put Alex Jones in as the Democratic nominee and you'd still get the same policies, because it doesn't matter who their president is. You know, it's the party is what matters. It's the Soviet model. And, you know, I have known a lot of people who are Democrats. I'm not, you know, I have friends who are Democrats. But that the party as it's currently constituted right now is a threat to the United States. And they seek a one party state. And they seek totalitarian rule where you're not allowed to say what you think. And a synonym for that is treating the population like slaves, not citizens. And I'm going to do everything I can to prevent that from happening, because it's terrifying. And I have a lot of children, hope to have grandchildren. And I don't want to see that. I think it really matters. I happen to like Trump, actually. I think Trump's great. One of the funniest, warmest people I've ever met. But even if I didn't like Trump, I would still say to myself, we can't have this. We can't let them turn this into a one-party state where you're not allowed to say what you think. I mean, that's just not acceptable.
Yeah, it is funny. They've made it very clear that if Joe didn't step down, they were going to give him the old heave-ho, which they eventually did. And, of course, once they did, now he's a hero. Now we love Joe. How noble of him. But they were ready to shove him out of the way if he didn't do it voluntarily.
Oh, well, they threatened him with the 25th Amendment. They threatened to remove him. And, by the way, they knew, going back to 2019, that he had, you know, some sort of neurological condition that was making him senile. And I know that because his sister told someone I know. So they've known this, you know, for 5 years. And the only reason they pulled him out is because it became impossible to deny. He couldn't speak in public. By the way, he's still president. We're on the cusp of a world war.
Right. Yeah. I love seeing recently Van Jones saying we just had to take away the keys. And I'm sitting here thinking, wow, he's still got the finger on the button for 6 months. If he's not fit to run, he's not fit to serve. But they don't want to talk about that now.
No, they certainly don't.
Well,
certainly don't.
Tucker, I appreciate you again. If folks want to connect with you, they can find you at TuckerCarlson.com and on X at Tucker Carlson. The Tucker Carlson live tour again is coming on September 13th. Here to Wichita at the Intrust Bank Arena. We'll give away some tickets on my show. Tucker, again, thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. And carry on the fight, my friend.
I've loved it. And I'll see you in Wichita.